And David comes up and says, how dare you taunt the armies of the living God? Did they look like the armies of the living God? They were hiding in holes in the grounds and behind rocks and in caves. No, they didn't look like the armies of the living God. They looked like chickens. Bah, chickens. But he called them the armies of the living God. Why? Because David chose to see things the way God saw them, not the way man sees it.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Throughout the Bible, we see countless stories of God doing incredible miracles in people's lives, and we may be tempted to wonder why we don't see more of the miraculous in our day and age. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to take us through the story of David, and we'll see that God did some awesome miracles in his life, but David didn't just sit around waiting for it to happen. He did his part in preparing for the miraculous. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Starting Points of the Miraculous.
He's going to say to us, hey, see things the way God sees them. Would you write that in? See things the way God sees them. Because you can see it in a pessimistic way. You can see it as in a cynical way and grumble. But if you start to see things the way God sees them, oh, that's it. Because if you don't see things the way God sees them, then you could find yourself fighting against God himself. David, from his monotonous, seemingly living, he then takes this errand that his father says, now go to the front lines and check on your brothers. Take this pizza with you. And so he went to the front lines. As he went to the front lines, he heard this giant's voice taunting the armies of God. Send me one of your best fighters. I will go one-on-one with him. And if you win, we'll serve you. If you lose, you serve us. Any takers? And it was just silence. No one wanted to fight against the giant. And David walked in there and said, what is this guy doing, taunting the armies of the living God? In fact, let's read it together. Would you read it with me? Go. David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, who is this Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Now take a look at the Israelites. Did they look like the armies of the living God? Let me tell you what they looked like. Two chapters before, let's read about it. Go. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets and among the rocks, in pits and in cisterns. You want to know where the Israel army was? Just look for grass shaking above heads of men. See, they would go into holes and they would take the grass and it'd just be shaking. And David comes up and says, how dare you taunt the armies of the living God? Did they look like the armies of the living God? They were hiding in holes in the grounds and behind rocks and in caves. No, they didn't look like the armies of the living God. They looked like chickens. Bah, chickens. But he called them the armies of the living God. Why? Because David chose to see things the way God saw them, not the way man sees it. And when you begin to train your eyes to see things the way God sees them, then things change. Because our default system is to see things the way they are. And when that happens, fear will come in. You see your financial situation, fear. Your marriage, oh, that's depleting. Oh, that's hopeless. Fear. Kids straying, fear. It's like seeing that giant saying, we can't do anything against this guy. He's too big. David says, I'll go against him. No, you can't. Do you see how tall he is and how ugly he is? Well, I'll go against him. No, look at the giant. David says, no, don't look at the giant. Look at God. Because if you see the giant, you'll have fear. If you see what God sees, you'll have confidence. Let me tell you what fear is. Would you write it in your notes there? Fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. David says, don't do that. See things the way God sees them. Well, how do you do that? Listen carefully. You don't see with your eyes. You actually see with your brain. Your eyes are simply lenses that will transmit an image to your brain. It is your brain that sees it. It's your brain that identifies that image, whether it's dangerous or safe, beneficial or not beneficial. It defines it. You actually see with your brain. And so if your brain is fearful, you'll start to see things lower than it really is. That's why, by the way, devotions are so important, so that we'll renew the spirit of our mind, so the things that we see around us in circumstance, we begin to see it the way God sees it, rather than out of fear. So how do you train your eyes to see things the way God sees them? Here it is. Train your eyes to see things into a higher state rather than to a lower state. See, all our lives, we've been trained to see things into a lower state. Well, he's not as good as he thinks he is. She's not as good as. And selfishness begins to dictate. Jealousy, fear begins to dictate how we define everything. Well, my marriage is hopeless. Well, my finances are hopeless. That's why one of the greatest killers among young people, 25 and under, the second greatest killer is suicide. In America. Because we see things into a lower state all the time. I want to encourage you that if you can just reprogram the way you see things, you can actually see things into a higher state rather than lower. So if you see things into a lower state, it'll start off with gossip, or it'll bring rumors, or it'll bring fear, it'll bring discouragement and depression. But if you say, no, I don't see that marriage as hopeless. I see it filled with potential. I see God present, and if God is here, we've got tons of hope. You're starting to see things into a higher state. Because when you see things into a higher state, then your life gets filled with faith, energy, hope, potential, possibility. Do you understand? Think about it. Jesus always sees things into a higher state. That's why he comes in as the Redeemer. He is the answer. He's the beginning and the end. He's seeing you as what you could be, not what you were. And when he sees things that way, they become that way. And one of the things we can start to do is see things into a higher state. And boy, when you do, man, it just brings energy into you. If you think, oh, my marriage, my finance, my family, everything is just not hopeful. No. It's going down. Well, there goes your energy. But if you see it as, no, wait a minute. God is present. God can do something great. Lord, I know you can do this. What's happening? You're getting filled with energy. It's really true. You think about it. Some time ago, I was laying on the couch and I was so lethargic. I thought, oh man, I'm so tired today. I can't even get out of bed. Honey, get me some iced tea. I can't even get my own iced tea. I was just so tired. Just then the phone rang. Ring, ring. It was a friend of mine. Hey, Wayne. A guy is playing at Wailea Country Club, and he said if I got another player, a golfer, we could play Wailea Country Club today for free. Man, I jetted out of that couch. I'm there. What happened? Energy surged into me. Why? Because I saw possibility. Isn't that right? Now, I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about faith. You have to be able to see things into a higher state. That's called faith. It's not just manipulating your brain. See that with people, with a church, with a ministry. Is there any possibilities? It'll give you energy. If you don't, it'll get you depressed. And just the other day when I came here to Honolulu, I drove from Eugene up to Portland, which is about a two-hour drive, and I parked my car in the long-term parking lot to save some money. So instead of flying out of Eugene, I could drive 2 hours, fly out of Portland, catch Hawaiian Airlines. It'd be a straight flight straight to Honolulu from Portland. So I thought, I'll save some money. I've been hanging around Elwyn too long. And so I drove all the way up there. You know how you go into the parking lot and you get a ticket, put it on your dash, and the long-term parking lot was pretty full, so I had to go all the way to the back of this thing and then get my bags out. And I'm walking to the terminal. It's a 10-minute walk by this time. Finally get to the terminal, and there's this big sign, bring your ticket with you because the payment machine is here. I thought, why in the world did you have this sign where I got the ticket? The machine is over there when you come into the parking lot. I thought, who in the world figured this out? It's a Portuguese or something, because this is crazy. And I thought, oh, my tickets are... And I was looking at my watch. I got to get out to my gate. And every step I took, I was getting more and more discouraged. This stupid, dumb, crazy, dumb. This is so crazy. Why do they do this for? The sign over there. I was so dumb. And I noticed I was just stressing myself out. And then I stopped and I thought, man, I'm just going to have a heart attack as this thing keeps going on. I said, I've got to see this thing as something better. And I thought, yeah, good for my health to walk back and forth. That's not bad. So when I get off the plane, because the doctor, my heart doctor, did say I should walk or run at least an hour a day. So if I get off the plane, I have to walk to the car, get my ticket, 10 minutes, walk back, pay, 10, 20 minutes, and then walk back to the car, another 10 minutes. That's 30 minutes. So I'm thinking, and I'm supposed to walk an hour anyway. That's just 30 minutes. So I tell you what, why don't we do the 30-minute walk, and then we'll chalk it up as an hour's worth of exercise for 30 minutes, like 2-for-1. Yeah, that's it. Let's do that. That's a great idea. I'll shake on that. I shook my hands with myself. That's a great idea. And then by the time I got to my gate, I was filled with energy. Now, I say that somewhat facetiously, but you understand the point. We can see things into a horribly low state and lose energy. Or David said, see things the way God sees them, and it'll prepare you for the miraculous. Each of us can do that. A story is told of a woman that wanted to divorce her husband. She went to a divorce lawyer and said, I'm so mad at my husband. I hate him. I hate him. The lawyer said, whoa, you want to divorce him? Yes, but I don't want to just divorce him. I don't want to even let him down. I want to pounce on him. I want to drop him on his head. Lawyer said, whoa, lady, you're like a cat. You're like a feral cat or something. She said, that's right. Okay. Then you really want to do that? She said, yes. So I said, was your marriage always bad? No, it used to be good, but then he just turned on me. So I tell you what then, when you go home, you can't, if you really want to let him down hard, then you can't let on that you're going to divorce him. I mean, you have to really make him think that everything is going really good. Because then when he thinks everything is really good, when you hand him the divorce papers, it will mess him up. Yes, she said, I love it. So go home and try to tell him all good things. Yes. So she went home. And for the next 2-3 months, she would just tell him good things and recall all the good times. You remember when we went on the picnic, honey? Oh, yes, that was such a good time. Do you remember we went on the Disneyland? Oh, that was such a good time. And you remember when? And she would recall all these good times. 3 months later, she went back to the divorce lawyer. And he said, are you ready to divorce him now? She said, divorce him? He's become the nicest man I've ever met. You see, sometimes when you see things the way God sees them, things change because you see possibilities, you see potential, and you see hope. And especially when you recall good things instead of recalling all the bad things. In fact, there leads us to the third principle in preparing for a miracle out of David's life. Would you write this down? Remembering yesterday's miracles gives you today's courage. Remembering yesterday's miracles gives you today's courage. David went in there, and this man, this giant, was taunting the armies of the living God. David says, isn't anybody going to fight him? They're all afraid. Who's going to fight him? David says, then I'll fight him. Saul says, whoa, you're just a youth. do you have any experience? He said, well, I was in the back side of the desert. Seemed like a monotonous time, but a lion and a bear came and attacked the sheep. And the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will be the same God that'll deliver me from this Goliath. Where did David get the courage to face this giant? From yesterday's miracles. That's right. In fact, let's take a look at this. It's going to come up on the screen. It's not in your notes. Read this with me. Would you go? Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Now notice, he saw things as God saw them, and then he remembered yesterday's miracles. Let me tell you the downfall of Israel. God had done great miracles in their midst, but you know what happened? They forgot them all. Watch this. Be honest with me. How many of you here could say that God has sometime in your life has either helped you, healed you, given you encouragement, delivered you from some setback, but God had touched your life, even saved you from an accident? How many of you can say, yep, that has happened in my life? Yeah, look around, folks. Hold your hands up. Yeah, look around. You understand? But you know what we do? We forget them. But all of us have had lions and bears in our lives, and God has delivered us from them all. And you know what David is saying? David is saying your obstacles and your opponents might switch, but the same God that delivered you back then will be the same God that'll deliver you today. But Israel kept forgetting. They'd forget what God did. In fact, in the book of Psalms, God had done so many things, and watch what happens. Let's read it here up on the PowerPoint again. Let's read this. Go. They believed his words. They sang his praise. Here it is. Then they quickly forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. In other words, they made dumb decisions again. Why? They sang his praise. They believed his word. Then they promptly forgot. Deuteronomy chapter 6 knows that we're going to forget. So there's this classic Shema or Israel or Hear, O Israel, Shema O Israel. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. The Lord thy God is one God. And then it says this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the great things that God has done for you, don't forget. In fact, what does he say we should do with all the things that God has done to deliver them from Israel, from Egypt? Here it is. Let's read it together on the screen. Go. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your... He said, take the scripture that talks about the mighty deeds of God and write them so that you, everywhere you walk, will be reminded of the great deeds of God. You shall talk about them when you rise up and when you sit down, when you go in your house and out of your house. That's what it says. Write them on your doorposts. In other words, make sure that you never forget, because remembering yesterday's miracles will give you today's courage. I encourage people, when you decorate your house, take scriptures that mean something to you. Get them calligraphy. Put them on your walls. If you go into our house, you'll see different scriptures that we have on the walls in a nice artistic form. Scriptures that mean something to me and to Anna, where God had done something great, and I want them to remind me. In fact, let me show you my lions and bears. In my Bible, you may not be able to see it, but I'm just going to show it to you here in the front. I have written over the last few years all of the things that God had done, and I've written them down one after another, and the date of what God had done for me and my family in a miraculous way. And when I struggled with finances, I write down here in the last few years where God had provided something for me, whether it was through an unsolicited mail or a check that came in, so that when I am ready to bail out, I'm dispirited or discouraged or depressed, I go back and I read the God who has delivered me from the paws of the lion and the bears, and it even has the dates on it. And I look at these and I receive courage for today, because though your obstacles and your opponents may change, the same God who delivered you yesterday will be the God who will deliver you today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. David, later on, as he writes it in a poem, writes it in this way. Let's read in your notes what we find here in Psalm 103. Would you read it with me? Go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Here it is. And forget none of his... What are those benefits? Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your faith is renewed like the eagle. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget how many of his benefits? None. Deuteronomy 6 says, write them on the doorposts of your house if you have to, and the gates. Because remembering yesterday's miracles will give you today's courage. Recall them. I look at my family sometime and I think, I remember when I prayed for a wife that had the spirit of Anna, and God answered that. I remember when we prayed for children. I remember when we didn't have funds or a place to live and God provided. When I recall all of the miracles of my family, there's no way I want to stray. But try forgetting all of that, all that God has done, and you'll become susceptible to temptation and distraction. You'll be culpable, and the enemy will have you in his sights. But when you recall all of the lions and the bears and all that God has done, you'll go to work, and though it might seem monotonous and there'll be a distraction, you'll have the courage to say no, because I know what God has been doing. And remembering yesterday's miracles will give you today's courage. You know why the devil wants you to forget? Because it makes you vulnerable. But when you look back at your marriage and your family and you say, man, God has done so many things, and I know I can read them, I've written them down, you'll have courage to say no to the temptation of the enemy and someone that's giving goo-goo eyes at you in your workplace. And you say, no, God has done so much. Are you kidding? But watch, you forget this, you'll have no courage to sustain you when you face this. So is there a reason that God puts you sometimes through the mundane? Mm-hmm. Because there's certain qualities that he's going to harvest to fashion into your future. And it's only built here in the dailiness of life. Yeah, but it's just unspectacular. Mm-mm-mm. See things the way God sees them, and it'll give you a lift. And don't forget about what God has done, because remembering yesterday's miracles will give you today's courage. And you know what that'll do? That'll prepare you for the miraculous. David did, and he's giving us a few hints. And I don't know about you, but I need a lot of miracles still. So it's time we prepare for the miraculous. What do you think? Let's do it.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Starting Points of the Miraculous by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Jesse said to David, hey, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. Did you know that David was asked to be a cheese deliverer? Quite unspectacular. And I'm sure in the desert sun it melted the cheese. So that was the Bible's first pizza delivery boy. But he was faithful to be a pizza delivery boy, because in the midst of the mundane, a miracle is about to happen that will change Israel forever.
For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.